We're going to continue looking at changing times. How many of you know that the times, they are changing? And they're changing rapidly. Each day, each week brings something new. Changing times require us to change, to be adaptable. No, we don't change and move away from our foundations, God's word, but we do become adaptable. So I got a question for you this morning. When we talk about change, some of us need to get back so that our future becomes what it needs to be. But let me ask you, who are you really? Who are you really? Scripture says, John wrote, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "For every child of God defeats this evil world." Now, this verse contains a promise, and it also contains provision. And, okay, well, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm defeating this evil world. What do you mean? Well, he goes on to say, "And we achieve this victory over this evil world through our faith." God has given to each of us a measure of faith. And by that, we receive from God what we need to defeat this evil world. So again, who are you? Let me tell you a few things quickly here. You cannot look at your past to determine who you are. You are not what you do for a living. You're not who you're married to. You are not even your nationality. And you're not the accumulation of your failures or accomplishments. So who are you? Those of you who have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you're born again, if you do not get anything else this morning, I'm putting it right up front loaded. Get your notes out, a little slip of paper in there, write something down. This is what you need to know above everything else that's said this morning. The truth is, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, let me tell you what that means. You say, "Well, Pastor, I've heard that. I know. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus." Sure, sure. But when you dig deep into this verse and unpack the Greek, it means that you are literally something that has never existed before. Thank you. You are a new creation. Something that has never existed before. God did something brand new when Jesus rose from the dead and became the prototype, and that we become a born again. We are changed on the inside. We become a new creation, something that's never existed before. And the question then comes to us, if this is true and this is the case, why do we continually look to the things in this world to try to explain what's never existed before? Why do we continue to look at the created things around us to try to determine and define and figure out this new creation that God has done in Christ Jesus? This has been our problem. Because there's nothing in this world that can explain to you, help you to figure out who you are in Christ Jesus. You're something that's never existed before. You are born of God. And only God's word can inform you about the new you. You can't get it anywhere else. So every time the enemy comes and he tries to remind you of your faults and failures, refuse to believe his lies that you can't change. No bad habit can hold you captive. If you have a broken heart, it can be healed. Your lot in life, and usually when people use that kind of language, I guess this is just my lot in life. I just have to accept this. You know, this whole concept of a lot in life goes back to ancient Israel when they went into the promised land and they were allotted a region of territory, property. And they weren't saying, I guess this is just my lot in life. No, man, they were excited about it. This is my lot in life. And see, that's just it. We're so blinded to because the borders keep shrinking on us, don't they? I guess it's just my lot in life. I just have to bear all this. No, you don't. Your lot in life can improve. Doesn't have to stay the same. The Christian life is a life of faith. Saying that another way is what you believe, you experience. If you say, I could never, guess what? You'll never. So be careful what you listen to and watch and read. In other words, be selective about who you let influence you. I'm not saying you can't be around people who have problems. You're in the presence of somebody who has a boatload, okay? I got a few myself. But hear me carefully. Even Christians, when they have given up on their problems, just resigned themselves to them, let me tell you, they're not going to cheer you on to victory in yours. Read what the Bible says about you. Meditate on it. Think on it. Let it fill your mind. And that takes a discipline. Say it out loud, what God's Word says about you, until you begin to believe it. Believe what your Heavenly Father says about you. Some of you, you're old enough. Some of you, you've only seen it in movies or whatever, but you know, I'm old enough, I lived through it. The late 60s and all through the 70s, this was a common refrain. I'm sorry, I've just got to get away from it all. I've got to get away and go by myself. I've got to find myself. I've got to find myself. Oh, you're right here. I got to find myself. You know, now listen to me. It was kind of comical even back then, but as I've grown older, especially the 60s and early 70s, people got messed up. And they believed the lies the culture was telling them about how to do life, and who they were, and whatever, and they realized it was just a lie, and they were lost. There were a lot of lost souls who could not find fulfillment in the drugs, the sex, the alcohol, all the stuff that culture told them, all the peace stuff, hang around, I wish I could buy everybody a Coke, and, you know, whatever. All these different, it's an old commercial. Like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Like to buy a world of Coke. Anyway. You know, all those different things, and it did nothing. It lied to them about the world and who they were. And that's why people were coming out of that saying, I've got to find myself. Because they believed the lies that the world told them. This is who you are. This is what you are. This is what you should be. And it was hollow and empty. And you know what? Nothing has changed. The spirit of the world, our culture still lies to us about who we are, what we're supposed to be and do. James says in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 23, read along with me. For if anyone is a hearer of God's word, hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. Hey, you're a good-looking guy. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten. Now notice the wording here. Not just what he looks like, but what kind of person he was. See, this is what will happen. You hear God's word. Hey, that's wonderful. Yay. And then you go out and you are bombarded. And you will let the media, the cultural influences just bombard you. And you start to believe that junk about who you are and the way you're supposed to live, the way you're supposed to do things. And it'll lie to you, and leave you hollow and depleted. Gone away, he immediately had forgotten what kind of person he was. Have you ever gone to the carnival and gone into the fun house? You know, the one that's just filled with all these funky mirrors. And you just go and you look and, wow, I didn't realize my head was that big, you know. And then all of a sudden your middle is this big and you got these little bitty tiny legs. And you look at that and it's, you see you in it, but it's distorted. It's you, but it's not you, because you know that's not what you really look like. There's a great lesson here, because everywhere you go in the world, there's all these mirrors that say, you need to be this, you need to do this, you need to look like this. And yet, just like at the funhouse, you need to laugh at it and say, no, that's not what kind of person I am. That's not what I really look like. The truth is, we all know these mirrors lie. This morning, I'm going to go through a few of these lying memories and unpack them a little bit. There's many more than what we're going to look at this morning, but one of these lying mirrors is the mirror of memories. The mirror of memories. You see, when we look to our past experiences to try to determine who we are and what we should be about, what kind of person we ought to be, we're using a distortion of ourselves. I mean, when you think about who you are, do you think of your most embarrassing moments? Often I'm harassed by that. I've given the enemy a plethora of examples to use. But there's a way to overcome, to fight and win over that. We'll get there. You see, if your past failures and mistakes and the things that you're embarrassed by, if this is how you determine your identity, well, it's going to be wrong. You're going to be all wrong. You see, using the mirror of memories, the image that comes back to you might be, well, I guess I'm not quite good enough. Tell you a little secret, and I could give you lots of scriptures to illustrate this, but that can be part of your homework. You can look it up. This is what you need to do. Listen, we've all made mistakes, and we need to learn from our past. Oh, okay, when things like this start going down, shut your mouth and just say, Lord, what do you want me to do and say? Or just stay shut up. And most of the time, if you just stay shut up, you'll be a lot better off. But when these things, you learn from your past, but then when the enemy tries to bring them to your mind and these remembrances start flooding you and just seek, because immediately you just feel, you just go down when these past mistakes and failures and embarrassments come along, what you need to do is you need to think, oh, okay, I see in my head right now, all these thoughts are coming back, I'm in the fun house. And learn to laugh at it. Learn to laugh at it. No, that's not me. That's funny, though. Yeah, I can see. Yeah, I was there once, but That's not me. Laugh at it. Move on. That kind of laughter can be healthy. It acts like a medicine. You know, you can't rely on the mirror of your memories, the only mirror that gives you a true reflection of who you are as a new creation, something that's never existed before. A new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, hear me carefully. All God's word is inspired by God and is profitable. But you need to hear me. The only mirror that's going to give you an accurate representation of who you are is the New Testament, and particularly the epistles, and even more specifically, Paul's epistles. Because that is where you are going to learn about this new creation in Christ Jesus. Give you a starting place. Just read Colossians chapter 2 and 3. He's saying, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Why are you allowing the philosophies of the world and the things of the world to try to define you? It can't, because you are something that's never existed before. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, that's right there, the heart of it. Romans, man, these are the books that are going to unpack and show you who you are. You need to spend most of your time, I'd say all your time, most of your time right there. That's going to be the accurate reflection of who you are in Christ Jesus. It's the only place you're going to get an understanding of this. Now, James goes on to say in verse 25, but the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Wow, I was going to use my phone to read a verse. The perfect law, the law of liberty, the law of freedom. Romans chapter 8. Verses 1 through 5 talks about that there is a law of freedom, the law of the spirit of life. You know, there's a law that has set you free. We usually think of laws that limit us, but there's a new law, the law of spirit that gives life, freedom. Notice this, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, freedom, and perseveres. If you don't persevere in coming to the mirror of God's word on a consistent basis, and it is hard because everything will scream at you, no, this is more important. No, you need to rest and relax and look at your phone for the next 15 hours. Whatever it is that is your choice of kind of escaping. I get it. I understand that. But if there's not a growing and increasing looking into the mirror of God's word to reflect backward, I'm telling you, the spirit of the world is relentless at trying to diminish who you are. The enemy does not want you to find out who you are, what you have, and what you can do in Christ Jesus. Because then your life is changed. Perseveres, being not just a hearer, no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. Putting the word into practice. This is when you're blessed in your doing. How many of you need to be more blessed in your doing? Spend more time in the word. If you look to, well, let's just move on. Another lying mirror is the mirror of other people's minds. I know there's an old joke that, you know, oh, my mind is a scary place to be in. And it is. But you know what's more scary? You trying to get into somebody else's mind to find out who you are, what kind of person you're to be. The problem is we think we can know who we are, that we can define ourselves by looking into other people's thoughts about us. See, if you look to other people to mirror, reflect back who you are, what you're doing is you're putting yourself being controlled by their opinions, by their thoughts of you. Now look, people can give you feedback, they can give you encouragement, but you can't look to their thoughts about you to determine who you are, what kind of person you need to be and can be or created to be. I mean, what happens if you get yourself surrounded by a bunch of knuckleheads who don't think much of you? Well, your self-esteem, your attitude about yourself is going to suffer. You're going to be in trouble. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 4. He says, "The Father, he has sent me to announce release, freedom to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind." Now hold on. All of you here, you're thinking, "I have 20/20 vision, Pastor." Remember in the book of Revelation, I don't remember if it's in chapter 2 or chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to one of the churches and says, "You're blind and you don't know it." You say, "Look, I'm increased with goods. I got all this stuff." You're blind. You can be blind to certain things, and people are blinded. Believers, we're often so blinded to this new creation and understanding new creation realities and how to live them out. And Jesus says, I've come so that you can recover sight where you've lost it about who you are. To send forth as delivered those who are oppressed. Well, what kind of oppression are we talking about? Those who are downtrodden, bruised, they've been hurt, damaged, crushed, and broken down by calamity. Just the storms of life. Jesus has come to make that all different. And you could experience that for real. Really. You know what else? Some of us, we are our own worst enemies. You can't even rely on your own thinking about yourself. Jeremiah, what is it, chapter 17, verse 4, verse 5, maybe verse 9, I don't remember now. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. You know what wicked means? And it's not only just bad, but, you know, what is wicked? It's twisted. Some of you have some wicker furniture. What is it? It's twisted braids of something. It's all twisted. And sometimes our own thinking gets twisted, even about ourselves. Sometimes we're a legend in our own mind, baby. And sometimes we can't stand to look at ourselves. You need to know that Jesus has set you free from the limiting opinions that you have about yourself. The truth is, your life is not locked in failure or jealousy or anger. Say this with me out loud, okay? I'm not a prisoner to my emotions. Now, let's say it like you mean it. I'm not a prisoner to my emotions. You see, feelings come and go. You know what? If you will just stop sometimes when you're feeling down and make yourself smile for 10 seconds, it'll start to do something on the inside of you. Just like if you're just like this, oh man, you can feel the downer coming on. You can push back. Well, my feelings are my feelings. I have to be true to my feelings. No, you don't. You have to be true to the truth of God's word. Your feelings will lie to you. You can't let feelings be your boss. When did Jesus fall off the throne and your feelings get put in its place? Is Jesus Lord of your life? or are your feelings? I may not feel it, but I choose to move forward and put a smile on my face because I know that my God is going to bring me through whatever it is I'm going through. Listen, even if you're experiencing jealousy, anger, found yourself in a puddle of sin, you may be experiencing these things, but it's not who you are. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, a miracle took place on the inside of you. You became a new creation, and as you keep turning to God's Word to discover who you are, you keep doing that, you will begin to live that new creation reality. There's a third false mirror we need to be aware of, and it's called the mirror called true. The mirror called true. Now, all these mirrors, like in the funhouse, they're all right there together. Some of them are even connected. And as you've heard me share before, but we're gonna review it because you need to hear it more than once. Pastor, why do you repeat yourself so often? Are you getting old? Well, I'm getting old, but that's not why I'm repeating myself. It's because that's how you learn. Now, some of you elementary teachers, you'll have to help me, but when I was in elementary school, we learned our ABCs by singing a song, right? Okay? And you sang it over and over again until you got it. And again, when I was in elementary school, we learned our what was called the times table, the multiplication tables, and we learned it. We repeat it. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 3 is 6. And you keep going with the twos, all the way up to whatever, the class thought you could, get to. And it was the repetition. The doing it again and again is how you remember things. Well, that's why I repeat myself. But you see, this is one of the enemy's favorite tactics, and we're not to be ignorant of Satan's tactics. Okay? So what he'll do is, he'll say, "Who do you think you are? You know you're disgusting. And you got a pea brain. You couldn't think your way out of a wet paper bag. And look at all the dumb stuff you did. You remember when you did this and you said that?" Uh-huh. Listen, it may be true that you did some dumb thing that you now regret. But Jesus said, the truth will trump what's been true in your life. Amen. So you've got to decide what you're going to believe. Yes, it's true. I did that dumb thing. Boy, was I an idiot. But the truth is that God forgives me. Amen. 1 John 1:9. If I confess, I agree with God that I was wrong, he's right. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I did that dumb thing, but you know what? I'm not there anymore. I'm forgiven, and I choose to believe that I'm no longer bound by that. I'm moving forward. And just saying something similar, just what I've said out loud, when those thoughts come to your mind, the things that have been true in your past that you're now embarrassed by, the truth is, that's true, but it's true. The truth is that God has forgiven me, and I've moved on. I've grown from that, and I'm not that same dumb idiot that I was back then. Okay? And then you need to do exactly what you do when you're in the fun house and you're in front of that mirror. Laugh at it. Yeah, I look silly then, but that's not me. You can win. Using the weapons God has given you is not complicated. There needs to be a sharp two-edged sword come out of your mouth. You need to speak God's word. Believe God's word. Even when you don't feel it, you keep speaking it. Even though you're feeling bad, you may have tears in your eyes, but God said, and the truth is, and I choose to believe the truth. And you fight your way. And as you, the enemy comes, you know what? He will keep hitting, but then he realizes it's not going to work anymore. And every time the thought just starts to make a little peek up, the truth says, and I choose to believe the truth of God's word. Listen, you have the nature of God on the inside of you. You're his child. And you now have the authority, the power to overcome struggles, sin, bad habits in a highly effective and completely new way. You have the ability to conquer. As James 1:22 put it, as you look intently into the perfect law that brings freedom. In other words, as you think on God's word, change your thinking. You've got to change your thinking to agree with God's word. Again, we're our own worst enemies. Galatians tells us, Galatians chapter 3 says, don't frustrate the grace of God. In other words, the help that God is bringing you, you can frustrate it because you just wallow in whatever emotional state you're in instead of pushing back. Just tell it to stop it. And then the reservoir, what you're taking in of God's word will help you. But as you meditate on God's word and you reinforce it with rightly divided scriptural teaching, you begin to discover that you are not defined by what you have done or what you failed to do. The truth will set you free over what's been true in your life. The final lighting mirror that we're going to look at this morning very quickly here is the mirror of religion. The mirror of religion. Now, we've talked about this before, but, Christianity, in truth, is not a religion. Every religion in the world that ever has been, that is, or ever will be, all do the same thing. Whatever God or deity or deities that they believe in, it's you bring your works to God, your God or gods. You're supposed to present your good deeds, your wonderful things that you've done to that God, and God is supposed to say, oh, look how wonderful you are. Yes, you get to come into heaven, nirvana, whatever it is that people buy into. Christianity is just the opposite. Christianity, God says, you folks can't do it. You're hopeless. You need help. So God came down. He did the work for us. He hands us Jesus' good work, the perfect life that he lived that we failed at long ago, and he offers it to us, and we say, yay. You see, whoever does the work gets the credit, and no flesh will glory in his presence. But when Jesus did, Jesus, thank you. I was failing. Because you understand, to get to heaven, the only passing grade is 100%. And I'm not even in the 90s. You know? I'm not even a good C+. But Jesus gives me his perfect passing grade. I receive it. He gets the credit. Yay, Jesus. Okay, but Christians, unfortunately, even whole denominations at times have turned Christianity into religion. Legalistic Christianity is religious, and it exploits people by its use of Scripture. For example, just some little things. Maybe you were taught growing up, or even recently, that to be humble, you needed to think poorly, badly of yourself. That's not what humility is. I don't have time to go there. But you may have picked up the belief that God is angry with you when you fail, or because you didn't follow through completely to what you knew you should do, and therefore God is just looking at you again. No. You have a distorted view of God, you, and your relationship with him. Or this one is kind of cyclical. And it's starting to make a big push again. You may believe that to please God, you need to live by the Old Testament Jewish laws. There's always this group where believers for a lot of different reasons, but one of the big ones is they want to go back into Judaism, and they'll even call it Messianic Judaism and Christian. And there are some Messianic Jews, and that's a whole different thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where Christians, you know what my opinion is? Just my opinion. They get bored with church because they don't understand who they are. They don't understand the purpose of gathering together and what's at stake. They get bored. Oh, yeah, I've heard all the sermons. I know this, that, and the other. And so they're looking for something. Oh, maybe I ought to go back and start practicing some of these things and observe the Jewish holidays, you know, that are inscription, the feast, and all these kind of things. Okay, you want to have fun with that. It's fine. But you got people who are seriously diving into this stuff. And the reality is, unfortunately, they do this and they think, well, you know, I've been to the Christian side of this thing. Now I want to explore this other. But the reality is they just don't know what they have. They don't know. They've never learned about them being a new creation, something that's never existed before. And as a result, because they don't hear about it, they just hear so many churches, the same sermon. Repent, believe on Jesus. Okay? Well, to my knowledge, looking around this room this morning, 99% of the people here, you've already confessed that you've been there, done that. I don't need to get up and preach to you every Sunday. You need to repent and receive Jesus and be born again. There's a time and place for that. And you don't have to preach a whole message on that. Because like I'll probably do at the end of this service, you can take 60 seconds at the end of it and present the gospel. Here's how you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You open your heart. Okay? So, this whole issue of following Old Testament Jewish laws, this was addressed very early on in the church. Acts chapter 15, we'll pick it up kind of in the middle because the church, the leadership, people came together to discuss this very, very questions because there were people saying you have to be circumcised and you have to keep the Jewish laws and accept Jesus or you're really not saved. After there had been much debate, verse 7, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows everybody's hearts, he testified, he witnessed, he verified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith." God did this. He did it just like on the day of Pentecost. This happened in Acts chapter 10 when Peter went to Cornelius' house. By my mouth, I preached to them. And while I was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came. They began to speak with other tongues. Just like it happened with us in the beginning. And they didn't know anything of the Jewish law. How did that happen then? Now, therefore, notice what he comes back and he hits hard. Why do you put God to the test? By placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither we nor our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and well, you have to move on from Moses and on from the time of the law, nor we have ever been able to do this. We failed at it. We never did keep the law. Why are you trying to say that they do? But we believe, notice I love this language. This is one of my favorite verses in these kind of contexts. But we believe that we Jews are saved just like they are. Not they are saved just like we are. We believe we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way that they are also. The problem with religious Christians is that if you look at them and you listen to them, they will give you an inaccurate picture of who God is and who you are. Because you know what? Legalistic Christianity, those people, they make us feel like that we are hopeless failures. Never living up, never measuring up. Just you can barely please God, and for most of your life, you're not. When nothing could be further from the truth. But without faith, it is impossible. Possible to please God. It's not by works of righteousness that I've done. You see, these mirrors lie to us and give us a distorted sense of who we are, who we really are. They limit us. And if all you do is look at these lying mirrors, even though you become a new creation in Christ Jesus when you were born again, you'll live a life that looks nothing like the one that God has for you. It's very important to look at yourself in the right mirror, because when you come to God's Word, then you will live out on the inside this image that you have of yourself that you've gained from God's Word. In fact, the most important thing you can do is to find out the truth and believe it. And let me remind you what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The only source you can count on is God's Word. Therefore, you need to keep looking into the truth of His Word consistently. Only then can it help to bring about the kind of life God has for you, and one, a life that you're excited to live. But if you spend most of your time, more time, looking into the mirrors of this earthly life, you're going to be limited to living an earthly existence. And what happens is you will come to doubt the promises and the truth of God. Oh, I know that's what Scripture says, and that should be not, but it just doesn't happen in my life. God is not your problem. You need to change. You keep looking into the mirror of the New Testament, especially the epistles. It will have a powerful effect in your life. You'll begin to take on the habits and behaviors that you see in that mirror, and your life will change. Let's all stand. Next time we're going to look at this some more, and we're going to even go into some specifics of things we want to persevere in the mirror of God's Word, because that's how we're going to learn how to deal with bad habits and stinking thinking. With heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment, let me ask you here this morning, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, has your sight been blinded? Has your perception of yourself and God and who you're, what kind of person you're to be, has it been distorted by one or more of these mirrors? Do you feel limited by the things that you believe about yourself? Even if it's been true that you did certain things, listen, you don't have to be locked into that. You can move on. How many of you with heads bowed and eyes closed, you just lift a hand and say, yes, I need to change. I need to change me about me. I need to move on. Yes, yes, all over. Would you, whether you raise your hand or not, I'm going to invite you to pray aloud after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth that sets me free. I choose to believe what you say about who I am as a new creation. Thank you, Lord. You are my help, my strength, and my life. In Jesus' name.